Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
One guy found a centipede in his beer.
A centipede in his
He
beer.
Let it go.
He let it go. That's the best part.
He let it go. I'm going to let that one go, he said. Let's see what else.
It shows a commitment to what you're eating or drinking to take it out and just keep going.
Take it out
and
keep going.
I'm good.
Let's keep going.
I could not do that.
They have
with
worms
the...
and tequila.
They do. Mezcal, right?
Different kinds, yeah.
Well, that was the whole big thing about, you know, mezcal. If you ate the worm, it was supposed to make you trippy. Like, it was supposed to be, whatchamacallit? Yeah,
hallucinogen.
Yeah, what's it called? I say mezcal. What the heck is it called? Tequila worm was supposed to have... What was at the bottom? When you had the worm at the bottom.
Yeah.
What was it supposed to be? I forget. I want to say mezcal, but why am I thinking that it's something else?
Mezcal is just a type of tequila. I don't know if that necessarily...
Oh, mescaline. Duh. Yeah, it's supposed to be mescaline. Mescaline. Yeah, the Mets have given up the lead, by the way. They're losing 2-1. Sometimes, like, I'm on the money sometimes.
You're on the money. This is Taiwan Walker.
Sometimes I just see it before it happens.
This isn't the bullpen.
Yeah.
This is Corey Dickerson and Jesus Aguilar. He's ahead of Aguilar, and he couldn't put him away.
Not to worry, Evan. You still got three more at-bats. You're going to be
four more at-bats.
Yeah.
The problem is they can't buy a big hit.
Plenty of time left. Don't you worry.
You are so rooting for them to lose this game. You want them to lose the home opener, the Marlins.
Not even a little bit.
Yes, you are. I can tell.
I am not at all.
I saw the glee when Aguilar poked the base hit the left field. I saw it in your eyes. Ah, the Marlins took the lead. Like, there's nothing more that you want. And maybe it's for, I don't know the reasoning, but you want the Mets to lose this game.
I do not want the Mets to lose.
Yankee fans like myself.
Well, I mean, there is that fact. But why would I want the Mets to lose?
I think I know why.
I'm a New York guy.
No, I think I know why. I think one guy claims
he bought chicken nuggets and there was a baby chicken.
What?
Baby chicken head.
That's no
in
way.
One of the nuggets.
No way.
That's what the guy's saying.
I don't believe it.
I don't know.
I think a part of it is you like to see me suffer. I think that's
yes,
a part of it.
Yes, that is true.
Yeah.
Because your suffering is real.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, you know I'm a real fan, and I think you like that angst that I get.
Yeah. Like, I'm sitting in my office eating a salad today because I want to get under 210, and all I hear is, come on! And I'm like, what happened? The game hasn't even started yet. And he goes, they're not introducing the players. I'm like, wow, you're really taking things personally today. Yeah, he came in all happy today before 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Had the Met t-shirt on.
Yeah.
Waved to me in my office.
I did, yeah.
We spent a few minutes together. Oh, yeah.
I broke down KD's performance for him.
Yeah. Here's Michael in Westchester. Michael, how you doing? Hello, Michael.
Yeah,
right, you're going to have to hold on one second there. You got to be ready to go. Here's Matthew in Ridgewood. Matthew, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great.
Nice to finally get on the show.
Yes.
You've made it.
I've made it. So I just wanted to talk real quick about the Yankees. I'm a Yankee fan, by the way.
All right.
There was a play last night. I don't remember particular which play it was, but Gleyber Torres stole... All right, he stole home. I mean, I guess he had no choice. Whatever happened to hitting the catcher if he's blocking that base? Is that still a thing?
Well, first of all, Gleyber Torres never stole home. So I don't know what you may be talking about, the Tauchman play at the plate, or maybe the last play of the game, or Urshela play
Probably
at the plate.
That play, yeah. Marcello also was stopped 3 feet in front of the plate. So,
right.
Now, the rule, as I understand it, that changed a few years ago. is more on the catcher than
correct.
The runner.
Yeah, it's about blocking the play.
The catcher can't set up the third base line physically in front of the plate until the ball arrives.
Right.
Then he can physically move in front of the plate.
Right.
If that happens, my understanding, tell me if I'm wrong, if it's a bang-bang situation like that, the runer can physically go through him.
Yes, the runner can still have a collision with the catcher, but what they tried to do, and it was because Buster Posey got hurt, that's where it all came from, the Buster Posey rule essentially, is they don't want catchers blocking the plate in that way. That was never a factor last night because DJ LeMahieu's fly ball to right field, Gio Urshela was out by a lot.
Yeah.
Like, there was really nothing he could do. And I can't even kill Phil Nevin for the send, even though you have Glaber coming up, because the send on Tauchman was so good. You know what I mean? Like,
I like the aggressive nature. And I even thought they, I think Cone made the point last night where it's still, you still got to make a perfect throw.
Right.
Yeah,
it doesn't need to be perfect. No. It needs to just be decent.
Yeah.
By Santander.
Like Urshela, I didn't realize this, is slower than molasses.
Yeah, he's very slow.
But the throw is also perfect.
Yes.
Like, you got to give the Orioles outfield credit. They made a perfect throw.
Look at that Tauchman play. Everything about that play was perfect. Tauchman's flying around the bases. The relay.
I disagree.
Throw,
the relay
was low, but the shortstop scooped it out immediately.
Yeah.
Freddie Galvis, who's one of the best defensive shortstops in baseball, scooped
it out.
He made
a great
perfectly.
Play because that was not a perfect throw.
No, that wasn't perfect, but he scoops it out perfectly, makes a good throw to the plate. Bottom line was Tauchman just flat out beat it.
Yeah. And that was all speed and, again, awareness of your body, where you are, and how to come around it, which I thought happened in the Met-Philly game to the Mets' benefit. I forget the Philadelphia Philly player. When the ball is not a home run, and the Mets, to their credit, bang, bang, bang.
Reese Hoskins.
They threw Hoskins out of third base.
Yep.
I thought Hoskins was safe.
I was at the game. What did you see?
The throw beats him.
Yeah, that's what I saw.
As he slides in, though.
He snuck his hand in.
He did a very good job of coming with that left hand around.
Oh, yeah, the swim move.
He got tagged in the chest.
Right.
Now, the ball's there a foot ahead of him.
Right.
Which is why they called him out.
I got it. So he did the swim move.
Yes.
Where he moves the hand.
Yep.
And
his left hand got to the bag before he got tagged.
Right.
But the ball clearly beat him.
And
defensively, give the Mets credit.
And they didn't challenge it.
They did not challenge it. I was shocked they didn't challenge it.
Huh.
I really was.
Interesting.
But in any event, listen, the Mets win that game anyway.
No, they didn't win that game.
Oh, that's right. Another loss.
See, this is why you're a douche. Like, you know that when you say that. They blew the game. They took Jake out after six.
I know. I just like
that. Oh, you know, yeah. Ah, it's so funny. Did you see R.J. Barrett turn the ball over last night?
Oh, lashing out.
The floor.
Why is Evan lashing out at
me? They lost 6 out of 7. I'm sorry, Knicks fans. This isn't about you. It's about him.
Why are you picking on the Knicks? Pick on me.
Oh, you want me to do the Yankees?
All right.
Gio Urshela trying to tag from third.
Why are you picking on the Yankees?
Because I'm picking on you.
Pick on me.
Funny over there, Chuckles.
Yeah, that's right, Chuckles.
All gas, no break.
That's right. All gas, no break.
You provoke the worst out of me.
All right, that's right.
Winning the World Series isn't really a reasonable goal for a baseball team.
Well, then the Mets have no worries this year.
How about getting hit with runners in scoring position? Is that a reasonable goal, Andy?
That's great.
Is that okay?
It's like, humbling, man.
Yes, it is humbling. Walker gives you as good a start as you could ever have him do for the Met home opener.
No, this is on the offense right now. Taiwan was fine.
Because what do you have right now? Three hits?
Four hits, two runs. He's at 87 pitches.
How many hits do the Mets have?
Oh, how many do they have?
Three, right?
They've got three, but the reason they've had a million base runners is the starter, Nick Neider, walked five guys.
Yeah.
In fact, the Marlins have issued six walks. So it's not about the three hits. It's about the fact that they've gotten on base all day long.
Castro, who's uncomfortably thin for me, is warming up.
Uncomfortably thin?
Have you ever seen him?
Yeah, have I seen
have
Miguel
you seen
Castro?
Him yet?
Yes, I've seen him.
For me and Big Mac, he's uncomfortably thin.
That's called you being jealous.
I say that quite
frequently.
He definitely
wears skinny jeans, for sure, yeah.
There's no doubt he wears skinny jeans, as he can. Every time I see Castro, I go, wow, he's really thin.
You'll see. I know. I've seen him. I know he's thin.
I don't know if you have or not.
I know. Do you think, who else is uncomfortably
like
thin?
Like, that guy must have like a 24-inch waist. Like, it's strange.
Is Jake uncomfortably thin?
DeGrom?
Yeah.
No.
Is KD uncomfortably thin?
You know what? That's a good question. I got to think of the last time I saw KD in street clothes, other than when he was drinking on the sideline of
the
game.
When was the last time? Yeah. For the last 3 months you've seen KD in clothes?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
He is pretty thin.
I know he's thin. He's the Grim Reaper.
But he doesn't feel uncomfortably thin to me.
The Thin Reaper.
Like, you know, there's this big thing online right now. Everyone, the Kardashians are very upset that somebody released a picture of Khloe that hadn't been photoshopped.
Right.
And she doesn't look nearly as, I guess, I don't know what the word is. Whatever word you want to use.
Photoshopped.
Yeah. Like, she looks like a more normal body person.
Right.
Which is nothing to be ashamed
of. Not at all. No.
So now it's like, you know, there's this big body shaming thing going on, right? Like, she's not fat by any stretch of the imagination.
Not at all.
She's just not as perfectly, like, toned.
You know what she is? She's normal.
She's a more normal person, yes.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that, by the way.
So, like, when I look at Castro for the Mets, who I guess is going to pitch in the seventh for them today.
Yes.
He's uncomfortably thin.
He's not uncomfortably
thin. In a uniform. Like, if you put him in a pair of, True Religion jeans and a button-down, he probably looks just fine.
Was Randy Johnson uncomfortably thin?
He was not.
Randy Johnson?
He was not. And I know he's like 6'10".
And he was very thin.
Like, how tall is Castro? I don't think he's not like 6'7".
He's about 6'4", 6'5".
Is he that tall?
I'm going to confirm it, but I would guess because he's a big guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I gotta take another look at him later today.
Baseball Reference has him listed at, I was off.
How tall?
6'7".
Wow. So he is that tall. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, he's that big.
Maybe it's the fact that he's so damn tall.
Yeah.
So we're going to find out as there's three innings to play. Don't forget, Luis Rojas, the Met manager, is going to join us after the game today.
I can't wait to talk to Luis.
And
I can't wait.
Aaron Boondog is going to join us at 5 o'clock. So he's booked for now, 5 o'clock. Depending on when the Met game ends, that's when we'll talk to Rojas. You know exactly how that's going to play itself out. He's going to call at 5:06.
Well, then Luis will wait, and he'll come on after Aaron, all right?
Yeah, I mean, they're both coming on today.
Yeah.
Now, both guys understand the deal.
No, but this stuff makes me anxious.
Look, here's the tiebreaker.
Perfectly.
Here's the tiebreaker, Loogie. Wow. What team has more wins? The answer is the Yankees. The Mets are going to lose this game. It's becoming painfully obvious.
You've already given up. It's a one-run game.
Bad news is always
more. Dude, they just made Ross Detweiler look like Sandy Koufax for a game.
You're down one run at home.
Yes.
Positive Thursday.
One run.
Yes.
And you've already given up.
Dude, they just made Ross Detweiler, who I've seen a lot of in his career, look like he's Koufax.
You got 3 innings to go.
Okay.
And you've given up.
They're 0-for-6 with runners in scoring.
Wow.
They stunk yesterday with runners in scoring position against the Phillies.
Hey, Big Mac.
Yeah.
When the Orioles scored in the top of the 10th, and there were two outs in the bottom of the 10th, did you give up?
No.
Right.
What do you mean give
not
up?
Not for one second did I think the Yankees would lose that game.
Neither did I.
What does that mean?
You have three innings to go in a one-run game, and you've already signed up for the loss.
Well, I'm watching this team.
That's pathetic.
Dude, they were 1-for-12 with runners in scoring position yesterday.
That's
terrible. They're 0-for-6 today. Do you know what that math adds up to? 1-for-18 in the last two games with runners in scoring position, and they just let Ross Detweiler go boom, 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 1-2-3.
I like him sloppy.
That you're the problem.
Oh, I'm the problem. I'm realistic. It's tough to have faith right now.
You're not down 5 runs. You're down a single run, and you've given up.
It's not that I've given up. I don't have confidence right now.
Okay, then watch.
Do you want me to lie to you?
Do you want me to turn the game off?
No, did I say that?
Seems like you want me to turn it off.
No, I didn't say that.
I'm going to turn it off.
I never turn a game off. Yesterday,
but
I was
given up.
I don't think they're going to win. That's
then I'll turn the game off.
No, I didn't.
Click.
Don't turn it off.
Click.
Don't turn it off. Don't. Oh, I put it on my iPad. You think you're so special? You don't think I have my ways? Good. I'll watch it on my iPad. And then you can't watch it.
Oh, I can turn it back on.
Good. I like it that way. The game. You shut up. I like it.
3 innings left and Evan's given up.
I didn't give up. I'm not confident. Ask Mets fans right now. If you did a Twitter poll, you should do it. Not me. I've already done a Twitter poll yesterday about the extra inning rule. Do a Twitter poll. Hey, Mets fans, you think you're going to win today? Well, what's the results?
I already asked the biggest Mets fan I know.
Well, what do you want me to do? You want me to lie to you?
Are they going to win today?
I don't have confidence they are now.
No, now you've gotten off the hill of they're going to lose.
Well, it's the same thing. I don't have confidence right now they're going to win.
Will they win today's game? Yes or no?
Sure, they're going to win. They're going to come back.
No, that's nonsense.
Yeah, they're going to come back.
That's not, you don't believe it.
I have confidence in
that. I know when you're lying to me. Because you don't sell it. Look how uncomfortably thin he is, right?
Miguel Castro?
He is terribly thin.
He's not terribly thin.
But you're watching Miguel Castro, who's ridiculously thin, shows you. You don't need to lift weights to play baseball.
How many pounds do you think he weighs? And I have baseball references.
Oh, my God.
Listings
it's like anorexically
of
thin.
6'7". How many pounds does he weigh?
You have the number in front
I
of you?
I have the number right in front of me.
And this is according to whom?
Baseball reference, which is usually pretty good.
He's under 200 pounds, and he's 6'7", which is frightening. There's no way he's 6'7". For real? Is that 6'7"?
I didn't guess 6'7", dude. I thought he was more like 6'5",
let's just go. They say he's 6'7". I think he's more like 6-something else, but all right. I'm going to say he's 6'7", a buck 85.
No, not even close.
Buck 50.
No.
143.
No.
That'd be
You're
unhealthy.
Going the wrong way, Bob. Higher, Bob.
He's not over 200 pounds.
He is over 200 pounds.
That's bullcrap.
205.
That's a lie.
You think
that
they're
is
BSing?
A flat-out lie.
I don't know, man.
He's 205, fully dressed for winter. Maybe. He's not 205 naked. There ain't no way. There's no way.
I wish this were the times where we were allowed to be in the locker room. I would go to the locker room with you before a game, like on
say
a Sunday.
Say, how much do you weigh?
Yes, and just say, hey, Miguel, big fan. You're on my fantasy team, which is true. I'd throw that in there.
Nobody cares.
But I would tell him it made me feel good.
Sure.
I'd say, hey, Miguel, big fan. You'd say, yeah, number one rated talk show. We're amazing. Hey. We don't know how much you weigh.
I'll tell you another
Evan
thing
Evan thinks
about
it's
him.
Over two. Craig thinks it's under two. Can you break a tie for us?
His forearms are smaller than a 9-year-old girl's. I've never seen a baseball player because normally their forearms are ripped.
Randy Johnson didn't have ripped
baseball
forearms.
Baseball makes big forearms.
Pitching is all with your legs, man.
Tommy, call Decker up real quick. I want to find out from him about this. I've never seen a baseball player with thinner, smaller forearms.
Randy Johnson had thinner forearms.
He's uncomfortably thin. That's unhealthy.
He's very healthy.
Paul's in New Haven. Paul, what do you got?
Okay, this is a true story. I'm at a wedding in the Hamptons 10 years ago.
Nice.
Really nice wedding. Okay. Kind of indoor-outdoor wedding. Very nice. I'm a guest of the bride's family. I'm sitting at a table with about a dozen people. I know nobody. They bring out the Caesar salads. Everyone's eating. I'm not really talking too much because I don't know anybody at the table. All of a sudden, this guy across the table, he just looks up and goes, oh, oh. And he just looks like he's going to throw up.
Uh-oh.
He has a Caesar salad, and he shows it to the table, and his wife just goes blank, like she's going to lose it.
Yeah.
And he holds it up. He's got a dead sparrow in his Caesar salad.
A dead bird? Come on.
I swear.
When you go to weddings, they make the Caesar salad in bulk, and then they plate it. You're telling me there's a bird in the bowl?
Craig, that's exactly right. What happened? They did it in bulk. It was a dead sparrow intact, and this guy is going, oh, and the whole table starts reacting. Now, again, I'm the guest of the bride, so I'm like, oh, don't ruin the wedding. Don't ruin the wedding.
Right.
I look at the table, and I go, shut up, everyone, shut up, shut up, shut up. Be cool, be cool. And everyone kind of calms down, but the guy looks like he's going to boot. He's just going to throw up all over the table.
Now, do you
and
think he was playing a prank? Like, because I've done the old, I'll take an, if you go to a wedding where they have a raw bar at the wedding,
right.
I will take an oyster, a raw oyster, and I will go, ha-choo, and I'll hold the oyster from my right nostril, making it look like there's a huge, you know, loogie booger coming out of my nose.
That's possible. The loogie is easy with an oyster, but this guy was carrying a dead sparrow in his pocket. I don't see that.
I mean, what?
I don't see that happen.
That's true.
There's got to be some kind of prank.
Imagine the guy goes, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring a dead bird with me, and during the salad course, I'm going to put it in my salad.
So everyone's trying to calm down. I walk over and get the wedding coordinator, and she's this nice lady all dressed up. Again, it's the Hamptons, and she comes walking over, and I whisper in her ear. I'm like, be cool, but here's what just happened. I tell her what I just told you,
right?
And she looked like she was going to pass out.
I bet.
I'm like, here's what we do. And we kind of huddled up together, and the guy is kind of calmed down a little bit. I said, here's our goal for the night. Our goal for the night is to not let the bride or her family know what just happened, because that's how you ruin a wedding.
Yeah, no, so did you tell them afterwards? Did they find out real quick, and how did it end?
It took 5 years before it got to the bride.
Before the bride and groom found out that they had a dead sparrow
he did
in
a good
the
job.
Caesar salad.
He did a good job. I know how my wife would have reacted, because we had a nice wedding, a fun wedding. If
did you have a big wedding or no?
No, not a big wedding.
No? How many people came to your wedding?
We invited under 100. I'd say we had a smaller wedding.
So it's like you kind of eloped, actually.
No, not really.
Kind of.
No, we didn't. We planned it out. We invited our family and close friends.
100 people? How many people came
to
the wedding?
I'd say about 80. I think we were at about 80.
That's not bad. Band or DJ?
We did a DJ.
All right. You know. Was it like a Thursday night wedding? Monday night wedding?
It was a Saturday night wedding.
All right, just checking.
We have a Thursday night wedding. You think we cheaped out on the wedding?
Sounds like you cheaped out on how many people you invited.
No, it's because we wanted a smaller wedding.
Why?
It had nothing to do with cost.
Did anybody from the fan come to your wedding?
Yes.
Who came to your wedding from the fan?
This isn't going to end well.
It's not going to end well.
No.
Joe Beningo didn't go to your wedding.
Joe Beningo was at my wedding. Of course he was.
You told me Beningo did not go to your wedding.
I never told you that.
You said Beningo couldn't make it because it was like a game.
Joe... That's Jerry Recco's wedding. No, was it Jerry Recco's wedding?
You told me Beningo couldn't come because he had there was like a game on or something.
I never said that.
So Beningo went to your wedding.
Of course he was. Danced at the wedding. In fact, that's the last time he had an alcoholic beverage.
Did you get married while I was still doing the morning show?
Yeah.
So you didn't invite any of us?
No, I didn't. I feel bad about that.
Not really.
No, there's not you, but there's other people I would have invited. I would have gone a little bit bigger.
Al and Jerry and Boomer.
I would have invited Jerry. I don't think I would have invited. It's nothing against Al, you, or Boomer. I didn't really have that close of a relationship.
Did you invite
Jerry,
Mike?
I did invite Mike.
Did Mike attend your wedding?
He did.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, did he bring his wife?
Yes.
Oh, that's fantastic.
No, Mike was great.
What kind of gift did Mike give? Is he a
good
gift?
I'm not going to reveal that.
1,000?
I'm not going to reveal
that. Did he give you a grand or not?
He gave a very nice gift. I'm not going to
reveal that. Did he give you cash or a gift?
I'm not going to reveal it.
Just tell me one or the other. Cash or a tangible gift?
It was cash.
$1,000.
Everybody gave cash, in fairness. I don't think anyone gave a gift for a wedding. I'm not answering it.
More or less than a nickel.
I'm not answering it.
Mike Frances is, to me, because I think Mike's very generous, actually.
He is very generous.
I think Mike, for all the things I say about Mike, my gut is that he's very generous.
He is. I've confirmed
that. Except Big Mac tells me he never gave him a nickel.
Is that true, C-Mac?
That is not true.
You also got married before you knew him. So
that is not true. He was at my wedding.
Wow. He was at your wedding also.
Yes, he was.
He was, yes.
Yes.
I'm thinking Mike Frances is good for a dime.
C-Mac, you want to take this?
It was a very generous gift.
Oh, man. More or less than $500?
More.
That's what I thought. How about for you?
Yes, but I don't want to.
That's great.
I don't want to comment
that's
on the gift.
I think
the ice is melting between me and Mike.
Really? Has there been a breakthrough?
I just found out he's a very generous tipper at your wedding.
How is that breaking the ice between you and him?
Because I applaud that.
Oh.
Mike did very well for himself financially. Not that you count other people's money. But the fact that you worked for him and you worked with him and he viewed you as a protege, Mike's got to give to me at least 1,000.
I'm not getting into what he gave.
So he gave more than 500. He's not going to give you 750.
You know what,
Craig, that's awkward.
Craig, believe it or not, I honestly don't remember. It was 5 years ago. I just don't remember what everybody gave.
You know exactly what Mike Francesa gave
you. I actually don't.
That's bullcrap.
I'm doing the moment. Like, if we were doing this a year after the fact, I would have remembered.
Listen.
It's been a long time.
There are some people you remember exactly what they gave you. Like, Cody Decker. Cody Decker came to my wedding, gave $100.
$100?
Cheap bastard.
Really?
Yeah.
$100 he gave you?
That's right.
That's
what he would have given, but he didn't come because I didn't know him. Uh-huh. But he's on the phone right now. Deck, what's up?
You think for 1 second I would have given you any of my hard-earned money?
I think if you and your wife come to my wedding, you guys are good for $250.
You made enough money in this industry that you should be able to buy and sell me over and over again, and you want $250 from me?
Well, you may remember I became a compulsive gambler and gave it all away. So
that is true.
Yes.
All right, I'm good for $150.
$150?
Nah. Yeah, $150.
No, because you're the kind of guy that's you're going to have at it. During the hors d'oeuvre portion of the wedding, you're going to get your money's worth. You got to give at least 2 bones on that.
All right, here's the deal. Just because of what you're saying right now, now you're getting 150 in pennies. Keep going.
In pennies.
I don't mind the pennies. They count.
Oh, that's the worst.
But you got to come up with 200 bones. There's no doubt you're going crazy on the shrimp cocktail.
All right, fine. I'm going to pay you 200 bones, but it's in wampum.
Can I buy marijuana with that at the Shinnecock course next year?
Maybe. I don't know. I haven't tried. Let's find out.
Then I'm in.
If you were at my wedding, Craig, let's say I invited you.
Yeah.
What would you have given me?
Based on being partners?
No, we're not partners. You're doing the morning show. I'm doing the middays.
$250? Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm going to get my money's worth.
No, I don't blame you for that.
Yeah.
You go to a wedding, get your money's worth.
I'm getting a bottle. I'm bringing it to the table, and I'm going to eat all the sushi and oysters you serve.
Okay.
Yeah, and pigs in blankets too.
Nothing wrong
That's
with
right.
that.
Yo, Deck, I wanted you on the phone real quick because I'm watching Miguel Castro, and Evan says he's listed at 6'7", but to me, he's uncomfortably thin, and it dawned on me he's also got very small forearms that you don't need to lift weights to play baseball.
One, let's pump the brakes right now. Yes. Is he skinny? Yeah. They can't all be jacked like me, Carton. Listen, I'm off the charts. Yes. Is he skinny? He reminds me a lot of Guillermo Mota. Remember Guillermo Mota?
Oh, do I remember Guillermo Mota? You're trying to give me aggravation today, bringing up Guillermo Mota.
He reminds me a lot of Guillermo
Game
Mota.
Game 2, Scott Spezio. Oh.
The only difference is this guy throws 100-mile-per-hour bowling balls with, like, 3,000 spin rate. He's ridiculous.
But I like Miguel.
The skinniest yeah, me too. But if you think for one second Miguel's the skinniest pitcher in baseball, you need to go ahead and Google yourself Adam Simber. That guy,
Adam
I swear
Simber,
to God,
reliever, yes.
Adam Simber is a skinny. He looks like Ace Frehley in his prime.
Really?
That's how thin he is. He's a submarine guy. He might be 130 pounds soaking wet. On top of that, got a catcher for you, Rocky Gale. He's been up and down in the big leagues with the Dodgers, the Padres. I think right now he's with the Reds. This guy is an amazing catcher, and he has the physique of a fourth grader.
Really? I'm looking at a picture of Simber. He doesn't look like anorexically skinny.
Oh, come on. Look at those wishbone ankles. You kidding me?
Maybe because he's not as tall as Castro. I don't know.
Well, look at Castro and also pay attention to the braids. He's got a gold braid. He's got a chain around his neck that looks like it's worth my house. I love it. This guy is legit. I'm digging the Mets. They're a little slow.
How about they get a big hit? How about that, Cody? How about they get a freaking big hit? They're like one for their last 18 over the last two games. And it was their problem last year. It was why they stunk last year.
You know, sometimes managers want to bat all-star second baseman in the seventh.
I know. Don't get me started.
Yeah, walk me through that deck real quick. There's two things going on in New York that don't make sense to me. Number one, the Mets batting McNeil seventh, and the other one, the New York Yankees batting Hicks third. I don't get it. I don't get either one of them.
I don't get it at all. I even heard Luis's description of why he did it. Listen, McNeil can hit lefties just fine. He's one of the best players in baseball. You bat him in the two hole. Play him. Let him do his thing. Also, sitting Dom in game one was madness to me. I like Pilar, but come on, man. I'll give up a little bit of defensive range so I can get Dom's bat in the lineup. There's no reason ever that Dom Smith is sitting down.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it made no sense. It made no sense, you know, and the whole thing, Nimmo's been hitting the snot out of the ball, so he's doing his job. He also made a nice catch earlier today.
They can't hit. Going on today against the Marlins where you got a guy making his first major league start. He walks five guys. They can't take advantage of it. Even yesterday, I know most of the attention is on the fact they didn't pitch well, but they just haven't been able to hit. And I think what's really frustrating is last year in that Fugazi shortened season, their batting average as a team was fine. Their on-base percentage as a team was fine. Everything was fine except in the clutch. And you assume those things are going to even out. And here we are. And I know it's only four games into the season. And it's the same stuff as last year.
Did you have anybody famous at your wedding that gave you a good gift or a lousy gift code?
Let's see. I had Miro, formerly known as Rusev from the WWE. He and Lana were at our wedding, and I don't remember their gifts, so I think they had to be very cheap.
Yeah, I would think so.
That is the most, of all the celebrities you were going to say, the last thing I thought was Rusev.
I thought we were
me and Rusev, listen, me and Rusev live together all the time.
Oh,
man.
Good.
He looks big. He's just nowhere near this.
Hey, listen, the WWE misused him. When he was undefeated at first and he's facing Cena, they should have put Rusev over again at WrestleMania. They completely mishandled him. He could have been a monster heel.
The fact that Rusev is not driving down a tank down that ramp this Sunday is making me irate.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe if he worked out at a better gym than your garage, he'd be driving a tank down this Sunday.
You have seen my garage,
yes.
And you know that's a garage that gym that don't quit. What are you talking about?
He's got some stuff in his garage from like 1973 Jack LaLanne videos.
Oh, sorry. Some people watch the movie Pumping Iron and get completely into it. You want all these sweet machines. Give me some good old-fashioned kettlebells and like something that can give me tetanus.
Well, you have it, so no worries there. And by the way, you're making a difference here because Creepy Wonka says, dude, enough with this Cody Decker nobody, Carton. So you're making a difference on the air. Well, his screen name is Chris Biv, B-I-V, but he goes by Creepy Wonka. Just the kind of guy you want around your children.
Oh, you know what? You know, I kind of feel good that I'm not really on the same page as this guy.
Yeah, exactly right. All right, be good, be good. Before I let you go, I know it's only a week old. Has anything happened that was totally surprising in a good way in baseball to you in the week that we've seen so far?
The story in Major League Baseball this week is one guy only, and it ain't Ohtani. It's Matt Peacock of the Arizona Diamondbacks. Guy comes in, Major League debut. He has to start in an extra inning game, 10th inning, winning run on second base, gets out of it, goes and pitches two more earned runless innings, gets the first ever win, gets a single, a bloop single over the third baseman's head, ends up scoring from first on a double, gets a win. It was an incredible performance
and
by Matt Peacock.
I got to tell you,
Matt Peacock. All right.
When I read about what happened, I had no idea who he is, and I looked it up. I was like, is he a prospect? He's like this 27-year-old, I guess, I assume journeyman who finally made it to the majors. So good for Matt Peacock based on that.
The guy worked in a steel mill once. Like, the guy is just, he is as ridiculous of a story as it gets. And he's just a journeyman. I played with him for like 2 weeks once. Great guy. I love seeing a success story like this, man. It just warms my heart. And it wasn't like he got into a cream puff situation.
No,
he had to be a bulldog in that game.
Yep. Good job, Dak. Good talking to you. Be well, okay?
Later, boys.
There you go, Cody Decker.
That was a crazy game. So he's referring to a game that went 13 innings, and that's rare because of this rule. Usually it's over 10th or 11th, and in that game, I think they each scored runs in the 10th and the 12th, and then there was more runs in the 13th. Usually 13 innings based on our small sample size of this dopey extra inning rule usually doesn't happen.
Now everybody, of course, is liking the creepy wonk composed against my main man, Decker, who is the real-life Crash Davis. I played pro ball, played 20 years minor league ball, is an all-around great guy and knows baseball as well as anyone I've ever listened to. And for my money, should be on Major League Baseball Network because he's as good as anyone I've ever heard break down a baseball game.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan, WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
Chris from the bench, he was drinking something out of a bottle that was labeled Chris's Secret Stuff. No, I'm sure it's just he's just effing with people.
He screwed. Well, was in.
But it was pretty funny. You see that, you go, wait a minute, what's in that drink?
There was something up with CP last night because he did something else that was odd during that game. And you may like this, you may hate this. I'm not sure which way you're going to go. Donovan Mitchell, who, how do you not love Donovan Mitchell? Live tweets Mets games, diehard Met fan, all-star caliber player for the Jazz. He misses a free throw.
Okay.
So all of his teammates go up to him to give him like the high five. And Chris Paul tries to give him a high five, and Donovan was not happy.
Really?
And he swipes his hand away.
Now, Chris Paul is like a beloved guy. He's head of the Players Union. Yes. Everyone knows that.
Yes.
And, you know, he's a Hall of Famer and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You
tremendous.
Think he was drinking?
I mean,
is it possible?
When you factor in the two things, like the story you said about Chris's special juice or whatever it was called.
It said on the side of it, Chris's secret stuff.
His secret stuff. And then you factor in pulling those antics with Donovan, and they won the game. It was a great win for the Suns, and they've had an amazing year. He deserves a lot of credit for that. I don't know. That was very un-CP3. Like, have you ever seen him do that with an opponent?
I can't say I have. I've seen him talk. I've seen him talk a lot.
Yeah.
But no, I've not seen that.
He ticked off Donovan Mitchell.
You know, Marshawn Lynch came out and said, I guess a couple days ago, forget who he said it to because I saw the video of it too, that he would have a couple shots of Hennessy before a football game.
But you know why that makes sense?
Go ahead.
In all seriousness, I think that can relax you. And maybe
that's why guys get stoned, right?
Well, no, and I get that because before a sporting event, especially as a football player, you only have 16 of these, maybe you get so fired up it can be detrimental to your performance. So maybe relaxing.
Would you like a bottle of something to relax you for the last inning of the Met game or no?
Yes. I think about that all the time.
Tommy, do me a favor. In my refrigerator, the one like where I'm sitting, the small one, on the door of it on the inside, is that root beer flavored whiskey someone sent us?
Yes, that's right.
Would you mind bringing a bottle in for Evan?
Not at all.
Just to calm him down for the final inning of the Met loss?
The last time I had that on the air to calm me down, it worked out well. Do you know what that was?
The last time I gave you root beer flavored whiskey.
Yes, to calm me down because I was stressed out about
was
something.
Was that when we found out that after only 1 week we were number one?
It wasn't that.
Wasn't that.
It was the day I freaked out.
about James Harden dribble.
Was that the day, really?
Yes. And you calmed me down. I took a sip.
I calmed you down with booze?
I took a sip. I didn't get, you know, go nuts or anything.
Right. How about that? But you're saying it worked.
I mean, it did. Well, look, it's working
out. It feels damn good on my body.
It works now because James Harden's awesome.
But you don't put it on your body. You drink it. Well, you put it in your body.
That's what I may do with it.
Yeah?
Look, these games do stress me out. It doesn't
I'm going to suck on it, baby.
You don't suck on it. You just drink it.
It doesn't help that you're sitting next to me, and all Craig says during the break, everybody, this is what he says. This is what he's so proud of. He's like,
I'm not proud of it. Just having to get things right.
Suck a dick! He did say that, too. He said, you know, I said on the air, it's a 2-1 game. And look at the score, Evan. It's 2-1.
Well, in the second inning, I said this has the makings of a 2-1 Met loss all over it.
Yeah.
So you checked the tape. I did say
I know you said that. No one's questioning that. But that means now you're sitting here rooting for the Mets, who are down 2-1 in the eighth, to lose the game 2-1. And it's just, it's obnoxious.
Here you go. Here's a little airplane-sized bottle of Root Out whiskey. All right?
Once there are guys on base, I'll take one.
No.
There are guys on base because they're getting mowed down by the Marlin bullpen.
Because you need to relax just a little bit.
Okay.
Just a little bit. Just for your nerves. There you go.
Tastes really good.
Yeah, man. I know. There you go. Now look at me. Hush, little baby, don't say a word.
Jimmy Garcia, Richard Blyer, Ross Detweiler. Look at this cavalcade of ace relievers. They're getting shut down.
Here's Michael in Westchester. What's up, Michael?
Yes, hello.
Are you there, Mike?
I am there.
Okay, hold on one sec. Get right to you. Jeff's in Miller Place on the Fan. Jeff, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I wanted to tell you about something pretty gross that I got in food one day.
Yeah, of course. Seems like that's appropriate.
Sports show, right? 1983. I drive my bicycle at 8 years old to the 7-Eleven in Comac, and I did this against the parents' rules because I had to cross a major highway because I needed to get circus peanuts. Do you know what those are?
Yes, of course.
Right. So I'm 8 years old. I'm with a friend. I bite into this circus peanut.
Well, let me just tell Evan, for those of you that don't know what the circus peanut is, it's like a marshmallow peanut. Oversized
marshmallow peanut. I've never even heard of that.
The circus peanut is a marshmallow shaped into an oversized peanut, and it's got like the ridges of a peanut shell on the top of it.
Huh. So okay, thank you.
Yep.
Yes, that's what it is. So they're called circus peanuts. Yes.
And I bite into it, and it feels like I bite into a rock.
Which you shouldn't, because it's supposed to be very soft, of course.
They're very soft. They're about twice the size of a peanut. They're bright orange.
Yeah.
And I bite into something, and I chip my teeth. I said, oh, my gosh, what happened? And I pull it apart, and it's a molar with fillings in it, with roots.
Inside the peanut?
That is.
Inside the circus peanut.
So you're telling me you bit into someone else's tooth already inside the peanut?
With a filling in it, yes. And now here's the cover up. I'm 8 years old. I wasn't supposed to cross the major highway. So when I go home to my parents, I lie and say I fell on the playground and banged my two teeth. They bring me to the dentist to get them filed down because I think these were permanent teeth at the time. And the dentist is looking at me. He's like, how did this happen? And I was like caught in this cover up of what really happened. To this day, my parents don't know.
I think at this point, since you're 40-something year old, you're allowed to tell your parents that this Thanksgiving, like we used to play a game, everybody's got to tell a secret at the Thanksgiving dinner table.
Right.
So that's when you tell your big secret. There you go.
I can't believe he kept that a secret for that
one. For 40 years, he held on to that
secret.
I mean, that's
a big one. Hey, I bit into a tooth with a molar inside.
The greatest one I ever did, we had my parents lived in New Rochelle, which they no longer do. We're at Thanksgiving dinner. I'm, a sophomore or junior in Syracuse at college. And my dad's busting my balls about what classes I'm taking and, goofing off and all this other crap, right? So my dad went to Alfred College, way upstate New York, okay? Alfred College's motto was the mother of men. So I call up the college, and I get them to send me my father's college transcript.
Oh, my God.
Now, this is before, you know, internet and all the other crap. And they send it to me. Okay?
Well, hold on. When you called them up.
My dad was born in 1937.
Who did you say you were looking for the transcript?
I called and I said, I'm looking for the transcript of, I give my dad's name.
And that was it?
And I go, I'm his son.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
gotcha.
I go, gotcha. Okay. And I need my father's transcript.
Gotcha,
right?
Gotcha.
For memory's sake.
Okay.
So I've got the transcript in my back pocket. And we're at Thanksgiving dinner. And my dad is now raking me over the coals about, you know, academics and grades. And what do you mean you took a class on Steven Spielberg and all this other crap?
You are brilliant.
And I go, Dad, just out of curiosity, what'd you take? Like, what classes did you take, tough guy?
Right, what'd he say?
And he goes, oh, I was taking advanced algebra and advanced this and, you know, honors that. And I go, is that right? I go, you willing to die on that hill? And he goes, excuse me? And I go, you sure those are the classes you took? He goes, yeah, I'm sure. Quite sure. It was 1955. He was the first Carton to ever go to college.
Wow, good
big deal, right?
Sure.
I go, then how do you explain taking pottery?
What'd he say?
He goes, what are you talking about? I go, what I'm talking about is this. And I, out of my back pocket, whoosh, I've got your transcript.
What was the look on his face like?
Dumbfounded. White as a ghost. I never took pottery. I go, is that right? I go, you passed it, but you took it.
That is, I got to hand it
to you. One of the greatest moments of my entire life.
That is utterly brilliant.
He takes the transcript from me, and to this day, I've never seen it again. I think he put it in like a lockbox, or he burnt it or something, but amazing. Nobody was ever to look at that transcript ever again.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So there you go.
I love how the school handed it over so easily. Oh, he took
he took pottery. I think he took an acting class.
Oh my God!
I'll never forget
checkmate,
that.
Checkmate, Dad.
That's exactly right. Checkmate, indeed. Real quick, Victor's in Danbury, Connecticut. Victor, how are you, buddy?
Hey, what's up, guys? Great show, man.
Thank you
so much for taking my call.
Yeah, of course.
Hey, Carton, I'm the rat that tweeted out the boomer when you were going to raid his office.
The rat reveals himself.
Well, it's nice that he reveals himself.
Well,
at
least you're honest about it, so we're all good.
Yeah. Hey, listen, a couple things. I wanted to ask Maggie and Moose about this, but I can never get on.
Yeah.
Do you think the Sports Illustrated cover, this is for Evan, do you think the Sports Illustrated cover had anything to do that pressured the Mets to sign this kid? You know, he's on the cover of Sports Illustrated. And
who's that?
Francisco.
No. Francisco Lindor?
No, I don't think
so. No, I think they view him as the best defensive shortstop in baseball.
He's an elite-level shortstop, and when you trade for a guy like that, you want to sign him. It's like why the Dodgers signed Mookie Betts. You trade for a guy like that, you want to lock him up. I think the pressure itself was the fact that they traded for him, and they wanted him on the team for a million years.
Yeah. I mean, that trade was done for the exact purpose of signing him.
Oh, no doubt.
That wasn't a one-year deal.
And look, I certainly wavered. You wavered a little bit at times. But when they made that trade, both of us said at the time, they're going to sign him long-term. Did we know for how much? Did we know when? But there was that feeling of you don't make a trade like that unless you're going to lock him up. And to the Mets' credit, they did.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan. WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.